This is the 17th of October, 1992, and we're on K-Talk Radio with Sam Russell. Hello.
Topics. Open Mind is a weekly exploration of unseen realms both within and beyond this dimension, which may prompt a reevaluation of many of our fundamental beliefs and institutions. And good evening, I'm Sam Russell. Thank you for being there. Tonight our very special guest is Commander Hatton. Good evening to you, Commander Hatton.
Good evening.
And I would like to begin by asking, first of all, if you in fact do speak for the white light of the Christ consciousness for the highest and best good of all mankind.
Yes, sir, I certainly do. In fact, I will update you a little bit.
Thank you.
We can bypass, because we get ones calling like Bob, etc., who want to classify us as running around in little silver ships, aliens from Orion and Pleiades, etc. I head the hosts of God, the God of hosts, as is spoken of in all your spiritual, biblical, Christian literature. I travel with that person, that energy form, on board my craft.
And these hosts of heaven are made available to those of us on Earth at times of transition, and this is certainly one of those times.
Yes, sir. In preparation for the coming of God of Light back unto you people.
There are certainly times of transition here. We would like to speak about this. I've been advised that what we need to do, first of all, is to explain the means of communication by which we are hearing you so that those who are just tuning in will understand the process. Would you please do that?
Yes. We transmit. We have a high-frequency pulse. I have a translator. I pulse in, if you will, by radio frequency, very high frequency, very rapid frequency. I suppose it would sound more like code to most ones.
If you were to hear it straight on the air, which is possible if you had that a radio capable of reaching that UHF frequency then.
Yes, yes. We can translate, we can slow it down and translate ourselves. We don't choose to do it that way. There are many reasons for that, most of them spiritual in nature, because there are so many false teachers on your place, and there are so many quarrels about it, and man will have to understand that God has a plan, and that plan will be unfolded in its proper sequence, and this is the way we make communication at this time.
And so you actually communicate in actual symbology, I guess, which is then directly translated by the scribe Dharma, and
yes.
This is the female voice.
Yes, that is simply all it is. It's a female voice. She is also a scribe. You will find, if you are attending the Liberator regularly, that we now have several other scribes and several other speakers that are transmitting information also. And they will be utilizing essentially the same series of frequencies.
And, of course, your scribe is not the only one tuned into this particular frequency. Evidently, there are a number of other governmental agencies that are likewise...
Yes, yes, it's easily tuned into. And you have some pretty good decipherers now.
Yeah.
We don't make any motion about... It's not code language. We're not trying to keep anything secret. God is totally open.
And so we are able to receive from you, the host, you who represent the host, information that will help us in these end times, help us to understand what's going on.
Yes, we're trying.
And we understand that there is new activity up in the area where Randy Weaver was originally located. Could you describe what's going on up there, please?
Well, we're not as interested in the area of Idaho and where Randy Weaver actually is. There is, as a matter of fact, I think perhaps you've misspoken, but there is a lot of activity still in that Ruby Creek area.
Mm.
So we'll let that go for this minute. I'll come back to it.
Okay.
What is primarily important this day is what occurred yesterday evening and prior to that in Ashland, Oregon. That's on the coast of Oregon, I mean on the boundary line pretty much of Oregon and California. Another situation where you have a patriot who was surrounded. He was at his lady friend's home and his business partner's home, and some 50 black uniformed SWAT, federal SWAT team members approached his house. Now, they did have a summons. Whether or not they served the summons is up for, you know, discussion, because this had been a standoff since early evening. And he finally called Tom Valentine's program of Radio Free America, and I believe that many of your listeners will have heard that. I hope so. During that phone call, they continued to try to get him to surrender. He said he would not until he found out what the charges were. They refused to give him the charges. They said they would give him the charges the minute that he got off the radio. By the time that other witnesses came into the area, and by the time he did surrender at some 3:30 a.m. this morning, there were over 200 agents and witnesses present. And some were the patriots that were also involved in Idaho. So you're getting a very, very valid picture forming now.
Uh-huh.
The interesting part about this is that Maynard Campbell is the name of the man in point. He not only is a Christian patriot, but he has written several books. The last one really, really infuriated everyone, and that was about the massacre that took place at Ruby Creek. So you can see why they want to shut him down. Now, the more interesting part of this is that quite a while back here, a number of days to even weeks back here, there was a secret indictment handed down, not in Oregon, but in Sacramento, California, by a judge named Garcia, indicting secretly. This man didn't know it either. And this sort of thing goes on in your nation all the time. They were ordered to shut him up. He is bringing forth more information about the tremendous criminal activities and corruption in the logging industry. He is working with ones who publish, well, this would be Joel Tolman, that many of your listeners may well recognize. He publishes a monthly journal called the American Bulletin. So he's involved immediately. Now, this all began, and in fact, with my liberator people, this began last evening. So this has been an all-night stand, and everybody's really weary.
So it's almost a replay, then, in a sense, of the Randy Weaver situation, where evidently Maynard Campbell is refusing to come out of the house.
Well, he's out now, and let me explain why and how this happened. When he was surrounded, and they were trying to talk him out, he said he would not come out under any circumstances. He knew that they were there to kill him, and with orders to kill. And he said he would refuse to come out, that he would come out and he would be shot, and he would take some of them out with him if it came to that. But he would die like a patriot, he would die like a man and not like a dog. And they were to have a warrant, and they were to have all of these things, which they were not serving at that moment. Boak writes, you see, this is not... You cannot separate these two things anymore. Boak writes was to be giving a seminar or a lecture this very night in Oregon. So all of this was geared to pull, once again, Boak writes into the picture so that they could get both of them that they wanted to do at Ruby Creek. And Boak was on his way. McLam had called, and McLam was ready to go. Bogreitz was on his way. And it became extremely crucial that this not happen. And therefore, at 3:30, the man did surrender, because there were other patriots there by now talking him into having a little bit of sense about it, that if Bogreitz appeared there, that there was not a prayer of keeping them both from incarceration this time, because this would be a second run at it, and they wouldn't fail again.
They wouldn't allow that to happen again. Then.
No.
Oh my! So this Maynard Campbell then is in jail, I guess.
He is in the Jackson County Jail, and I'm embarrassed for you people to tell you what the charges are. The man has a mining claim. Actually, it isn't even his. It is his lady friend, and I'm not going to use her name because I would like to protect her a little bit longer. She is being indicted also. But they have a mining claim, and it's in her name, and she has a land patent on it. So everything is perfectly legal, except that they did not have the documented papers back yet. Everything had been perfected about the mining claim, and that means that they would be allowed to clear some land, etc., to work the claim. The indictment charges cutting off trees on National Forest property. They cut possibly one tree, maybe two, in clearing. And so the entire setup is once again a total frame, a total setup. And this entire thing, they would have killed them both last night over one tree.
That's amazing.
It's incredible.
Bogreitz, therefore, is, I hope, away from that scene then.
Yes, he did not go. He did not go.
And Jack McLam, he is not on the scene either then, I
believe that he is back to his original location also. I cannot be sure about Jack Lamb, and I've not checked on them this afternoon.
Yeah.
The understanding was that Bo would regroup and would go on with his speech this evening. I don't know either if he has done that. I have been preoccupied myself in Columbia, quite frankly.
Understand that there have been some earth-shaking activities there, shall we say.
Well, they have had a major, major earthquake, and it is located very close to Medellin. And this, of course, is because that is the central drug dealing. I have to really interrupt myself and tell you that surely if you're not aware of the clandestine activities that go on, your government deals in drugs. And in fact, the cargo plane that was brought down off Colombia was hauling drugs. It was not an accident. It was not a surveillance plane. And so you've got a situation where you are having a lot of barrage against Bush these days, and that has direct impact on Bush. But the incredibly terrible thing about this particular earthquake area is that coming up from your asthenosphere, which is just below the lithosphere, I get your English a little bit confused, but we're talking about the area underneath the crust and mantle of your place, is completely poisonous. It is like fissures filled with volcanic, sulfuric, and other very, very toxic substances.
Ah, so these earthquakes release this toxicity into the air then?
Well, you see, you've already had a Colombian volcano explode or erupt lately. And you have had in those same areas lakes that have had these poisonous gases coming up through them. And early on, as we started writing on the Liberator and the Commander Soltec, who is a geophysicist, began giving forth information, and this at that time was through DORMA, we talked about the very big probability of Lake Elsinore in California, as well as the Salton Sea area, bringing forth, belching up these very, very toxic, poisonous gases. And you're going to find that as the fissures break open, that it's going to come right up straight up that coastal area along the between the crust and this deeper fissure, you're going to have an opening maybe 45 miles deep in some areas, and that toxic material is going to just spew forth, and then it's going to just explode out. So you've got one of the most critical, crucial earth changes going on right under you right now.
And so this has the potential of being deadly then for those who inhale it, these fumes?
Yes, when these fumes start erupting, it's going to be very, very bad.
And so it could take out whole populations of towns and so on, then, or at least it has that potential.
Yes, especially around these lake areas where they're expecting it already. They're expecting it to erupt. And yet with these massive earth jolts, because you always have that Pacific plate turning, and you can expect a displacement all along. Your geologists are telling you, you can expect a displacement of at least 18 inches to 2 feet when the San Andreas goes. That means that all the lifelines, you see, to your Pacific coast are going to be severed. And in the San Bernardino area, where you have the San Jacinto Fault meeting there at the San Andreas, when that shifts, it's going to rupture the major Southern California gas line. And that gas is heavier, and it's going to flow down into the canyons, which is the bedroom area in the San Bernardino area, and it's going to go right across the major freeway interchange in that area. And all it's going to take is one spark to ignite it, and it will just go worse than an atomic bomb. And you might think, well, but they're not expecting that. I want to tell you, they're expecting that. They are expecting it. They know it's coming. And this very week, if people are not aware of it, they're closing down the San Onofre atomic energy plant at San Clemente. They're saying, well, it's old and we don't know and yappity yap, but they just updated parts of that plant. Well, they're closing it. And that means they expect, friends, something very, very big to happen.
That's interesting. That's the one that's right on the coast that you pass on the way from L.A. down to San Diego.
Yes, it's a tourist attraction, and it's also there at San Clemente.
Yeah. Well.
So there's a lot going on. I know that ones think, well, we passed the 12th, we passed the 14th, we did this, and these predictions are being made and they're not happening. Yes, they are. You are expecting something. And you just had a massive earthquake in Egypt, and that is not earthquake country. That was incredibly unheard of.
Yeah,
the largest earthquake they've ever had in that country.
Yes.
So it's happening. It's happening all around.
Commander, you've mentioned a couple of times the Liberator newspaper, and I think we should mention the number that folks can call. I was speaking with EJ a couple of days ago, and he was saying that a free issue of the Liberator will be sent to anyone who calls this number and requests it. This is an 800 toll-free number, and they will send out a free sample of the Liberator newspaper so that you can see what that is all about. It is an incredible newspaper, and I can commend it to you. The number is 1-800-800-5565. That's 1-800-800-5565. And you call that number, I assume that's a weekday business hours type of number, so don't call it over the weekend, California time, and they will send you a free issue of the Liberator, and I think you'll be impressed with the size of it, the quantity, the types of information, and understand that this is a weekly newspaper, and to realize that this quantity and quality of information comes out weekly is really remarkable. The Liberator, once again, that number, 1-800-800-5565. There's much that we need to get into while we are pausing here. Let me insert some commercials, and we will be right back with Commander Hatton. The Swatha Book and Gift Shop that... Commander Hatton, and I've been advised that that 800 number can be called anytime, and you can leave a message. So if you would like to call that 800 number tonight or over the weekend, there is a message machine on that line, and so that's what you can do. One more time, 800-800-5565. Well, Commander Hatton,
yes, sir.
Seem to be in the final stages of the election process here for a new president. Can you update us on events as you see them?
Yes, I can. I find of all of the things that go on in your place, your elections happen to be about the most amusing and yet the most pathetic. Are you there?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, we got some changes in the tones. You have a situation where they're going to try now to bring Bush into confrontation with the Delavore Bank situation, the BNL.
Oh, that's
bank.
That's the Italian Banco Nacional?
Yes, it is. And you will find that they're going to press Mr. Draco, and that doesn't sound quite right either, but
Dragoo.
Full name, yes.
That they have been trying, like Ollie North, you know, to blame everything on. You're going to find that that is absolutely an incredible nest of rats when it's undone.
They're going to this particular individual, I believe, was the branch manager in Atlanta.
Yes,
supposedly okayed the loans, and he was a very low-level functionary.
Yes, well, this one is going to be a bigger blast than your Watergate ever could have possibly have been. And you have another situation that is going to break forth, and this bank is called, I believe, the LBS Bank. I could have those initials. I don't know. You all go by initials on everything. But this particular bank was set up in New York by Hold Your Hat, Brent Scowcroft, and Eagle Burger to directly funnel money into Serbia. And this was in coalition with Henry Kissinger. Mr. Kissinger's got his nose in absolutely everything, from the BNL to this New York bank. And I believe if something doesn't happen to block it, I believe it will pull the entire organization down. And that's going to be very unfortunate, because Brent Scowcroft is going to be right at the top of that one. And that you will also have to realize that Henry Kissinger Associates is also the manager advisor of what is happening in Yugoslavia. Kissinger Associates is the political, financial, he runs everything that's happening in Yugoslavia. He runs the Serbians. They pay him. And so what you're having happen in Yugoslavia, you can lay right at the feet of Henry Kissinger. Mr. Kissinger has been running the business in New Zealand and Australia and the whole ANZUS treaty organization with the United States in that area. You're going to find Mr. Kissinger tangled up in everything that happens in Southeast Asia and in everything happening in China. Mr. Kissinger is the head puppet and action person for the Committee of 300.
So he is the local the representative in this hemisphere, I guess you would say, for the Committee of 300 then?
Yes, but he has served mostly on the side of what you would recognize if you could split the chart down the middle. And you have the Rockefellers on one side. Well, you see, the Rockefellers are not Rockefellers. They are Rogenfels of Germany. And then you have the Rothschild dynasty on the right side. And Kissinger represents the big shot or the big to-do of the Rothschild, while you have David Rockefeller representing the Rockefeller side.
Uh-huh. That's interesting, because I thought Kissinger kind of got his start under the tutelage of David Rockefeller.
Yes, he certainly did. In fact, he was one of the major ones that your listeners are going to just have to gulp and disbelieve, believe, whatever they want to do, but these things are going to be coming into your consciousness very, very soon now. And all of the Rockefeller brothers were killed. They were not able to hide the murder of Nelson, except to say that it was natural causes. The other ones were taken out, and they were replaced. You are seeing replicas, including David.
Uh-huh. And so, does this set up a confrontation then between the Rockefeller dynasty and the Rothschilds?
Oh, indeed. Yes. And this is why such a big effort is being made right now to pull down Bush, because everything has gotten crosswise.
So Bush really, Bush is working for the Rockefeller side of things?
Well, yes. I mean, if you're going, he's gotten out there on a big limb now with criminal activities, which will pull him down. But yes, he got very crosswise. And you see what they're having to do now, because you will note in the polls that Bush is losing. The Bilderbergs, the Trilateralists, the Bilderbergs and the Committee of 300 decided over a year ago to groom Clinton for this role. And they've done a very good job. But you see, Clinton is going, well, he's going to be confronted with the fact that he allowed drug trade coming into the MENA, Arkansas airport. Now, they'd nail him with that, except that the drug traders and the ones flying in were basically working for the administration, which is also going to pull Bush down. So they're not too willing to go out there on that limb yet. So they're struggling to try to find something else on Clinton. You see, when you start these kinds of international blackmail tactics, they will always pull from the criminal element so that there is always something to blackmail you with. And you just get deeper and deeper and deeper, so that if everything comes...
This is the 17th of October, 1992, and we're on K-Talk Radio with Sam Russell. Hello.
Series devoted to metaphysical and spiritual topics. Open Mind is a weekly exploration of unseen realms both within and beyond this dimension, which may prompt a reevaluation of many of our fundamental beliefs and institutions. And good evening, I'm Sam Russell. Thank you for being there. Tonight our very special guest is Commander Hatton. Good evening to you, Commander Hatton.
Good evening.
And I would like to begin by asking, first of all, if you in fact do speak for the white light of the Christ consciousness for the highest and best good of all mankind.
Yes, sir, I certainly do. In fact, I will update you a little bit.
Thank you.
We can bypass, because we get ones calling like Bob, etc., who want to classify us as running around in little silver ships, aliens from Orion and Pleiades, etc. I head the hosts of God, the God of hosts, as is spoken of in all your spiritual, biblical, Christian literature. I travel with that person, that energy form, on board my craft.
And these hosts of heaven are made available to those of us on Earth at times of transition, and this is certainly one of those times.
Yes, sir. In preparation for the coming of God of Light back unto you people.
There are certainly times of transition here. We would like to speak about this. I've been advised that what we need to do, first of all, is to explain the means of communication by which we are hearing you so that those who are just tuning in will understand the process. Would you please do that?
Yes. We transmit. We have a high-frequency pulse. I have a translator. I pulse in, if you will, by radio frequency, very high frequency, very rapid frequency. I suppose it would sound more like code to most ones.
If you were to hear it straight on the air, which is possible if you had that a radio capable of reaching that UHF frequency then.
Yes, yes. We can translate, we can slow it down and translate ourselves. We don't choose to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
There are many reasons for that, most of them spiritual in nature, because there are so many false teachers on your place, and there are so many quarrels about it, and man will have to understand that God has a plan, and that plan will be unfolded in its proper sequence, and this is the way we make communication at this time.
And so you actually communicate in actual symbology, I guess, which is then directly translated by the scribe Dharma.
Yes.
And this is the female voice.
Yes, that is simply all it is. It's a female voice. She is also a scribe. You will find, if you are attending a Liberator regularly, that we now have several other scribes and several other speakers that are transmitting information also. And they will be utilizing essentially the same series of frequencies.
And, of course, your scribe is not the only one tuned into this particular frequency. Evidently, there are a number of other governmental agencies that are likewise.
Yes, yes, it's easily tuned into. And you have some pretty good decipherers now.
Yeah.
We don't make any motion about, it's not code language. We're not trying to keep anything secret. God is totally open.
And so we are able to receive from you, the host, you who represent the host, information that will help us in these end times, help us to understand what's going on.
Yes, we're trying.
And we understand that there is new activity up in the area where Randy Weaver was originally located. Could you describe what's going on up there, please?
Well, we're not as interested in the area of Idaho and where Randy Weaver actually is. There is, as a matter of fact, I think perhaps you've misspoken, but there is a lot of activity still in that Ruby Creek area.
Mm.
So we'll let that go for this minute. I'll come back to it.
Okay.
What is primarily important this day is what occurred yesterday evening and prior to that in Ashland, Oregon. That's on the coast of Oregon, on the boundary line pretty much of Oregon and California. Another situation where you have a patriot who was surrounded. He was at his lady friend's home and his business partner's home, and some 50 black uniformed federal SWAT team members approached his house. Now, they did have a summons. Whether or not they served the summons is up for, you know, discussion, because this had been a standoff since early evening. And he finally called Tom Valentine's program of Radio Free America, and I believe that many of your listeners will have heard that. I hope so. During that phone call, they continued to try to get him to surrender. He said he would not until he found out what the charges were. They refused to give him the charges. They said they would give him the charges the minute that he got off the radio. By the time that other witnesses came into the area, and by the time he did surrender at some 3:30 a.m. this morning, there were over 200 agents and witnesses present. And some were the patriots that were also involved in Idaho. So you're getting a very, very valid picture forming now.
Uh-huh.
The interesting part about this is that Maynard Campbell is the name of the man in point. He not only is a Christian patriot, but he has written several books. The last one really, really infuriated everyone, and that was about the massacre that took place at Ruby Creek. So you can see why they want to shut him down. Now, the more interesting part of this is that quite a while back here, a number of days to even weeks back here, there was a secret indictment handed down, not in Oregon, but in Sacramento, California, by a judge named Garcia, indicting secretly. This man didn't know it either. And this sort of thing goes on in your nation all the time. They were ordered to shut him up. He is bringing forth more information about the tremendous criminal activities and corruption in the logging industry. He is working with ones who publish, well, this would be Joel Tolman, that many of your listeners may well recognize. He publishes a monthly journal called the American Bulletin. So he's involved immediately. Now, this all began, and in fact, with my liberator people, this began last evening. So this has been an all-night stand, and everybody's really weary.
So it's almost a replay then, in a sense, of the Randy Weaver situation, where evidently Maynard Campbell is refusing to come out of the house.
Well, he's out now. And let me explain why and how this happened. When he was surrounded and they were trying to talk him out, he said he would not come out under any circumstances. He knew that they were there to kill him and with orders to kill. And he said he would refuse to come out, that he would come out and he would be shot, and he would take some of them out with him if it came to that. But he would die like a patriot, he would die like a man and not like a dog. And they were to have a warrant and they were to have all of these things, which they were not serving at that moment. Boak Rights, you see, this is not, you cannot separate these two things anymore. Boak Rights was to be giving a seminar or a lecture this very night in Oregon. So all of this was geared to pull, once again, Boak Rights into the picture so that they could get both of them that they wanted to do at Ruby Creek. And Bo was on his way. McLam had called, and McLam was ready to go. Bogreitz was on his way. And it became extremely crucial that this not happen. And therefore, at 3:30, the man did surrender, because there were other patriots there by now talking him into having a little bit of sense about it, that if Bogreitz appeared there, that there was not a prayer of